All right. The millennium, I'm not going to talk about. But what happens next, before the millennium, is there's a period of time, and it has many names in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. And I want to start with a very controversial text in Daniel chapter 9. This text is interpreted by everyone differently in different ways. And it tells about a period of time. So let's look at it. 70 weeks, verse 24, 9:24. So 70 weeks is, the word for weeks is not weeks. It's actually 77s, Shabua. Shabua. So they say it weeks, but it just means sevens. That's all. So it's the same word. So that 70 is 70 times 7, which is 490 years, 500 years. So for 490 years, something. Now, remember that that the children of Israel had sinned and God had wanted to cleanse them and purify them. And so he had to take time to let them see their sin, their consequences of sin. So he sent them into Babylon 70 years. So that's not 70 times 7, just 70 years. So they went into their exile. They were no longer lords of their own land. They were now sent into a foreign country and dominated by a foreign power. And so this, up until now, these scriptures probably wouldn't make a lot of sense to anybody that lived prior, because he'd have to think historically or future. But now it's almost present. In other words, what's happened is actually what's going on. Ostensibly, it's talking about the 70th week. That's the thing that's left undone. The 69 is already over. Now, I'm going to introduce another thought. I know you're not going to understand, but that's okay. Just don't understand. Be confused. But if you want to listen carefully, just get the tape and you can listen over and over again. Now, this 70 years, this is what it says, 70 sevens. 70 sevens are determined upon your people. This is God speaking to the prophet. And upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish the transgression. In other words, we want to get rid of sin. We want to make an end of sins in Israel. Israel has lots of sins just like we do. And to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity, which is sins, and to bring in, positively now, everlasting righteousness, which is Jesus, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, in other words, it's not now, and to anoint the most holy, which is Jesus. And so this whole concept of time and space, we know now where it's going to be. It's going to be in Israel. And this time period, and you will understand this just mathematically, the time period begins right here. I'm going to read about it in a second. It's going to be right there. But it's looking forward to right here. And so when Jesus is starting his ministry, he starts it here, but it's actually predicted back here. So I'm going to give a date already, so you don't have to think about where I'm going. 457 BC, before Christ. So almost 460 years before Jesus, you have a timeline going like this. And it will go past because 490, see that that's only 450-ish, but you have another bunch of years afterward. Now, that final period is the Antichrist. That's when the Antichrist, that is someone who substitutes himself for Christ, someone who comes on the scene and says, I'm God, and I'm the one you're looking for. The Christ you're looking for, I'm the guy. Now, in today's newspapers, today's world, you can see that the Muslims actually say that. They actually, without apology, say, we're going to be our caliphate, our chief way of looking at it. And they're only arguing between whether he'll be a priest, a religious guy, as the Shia form of Muslim or Islam is, or whether it be a political guy like it is in Saudi Arabia. So Iran is on the Shia side. Saudi Arabia is then on the other side. And it's more Western oriented because they believe it's a political thing. So whether the political guy is at the head or whether the religious guy is at the head. So the Sunni are political, the Shia are religious. So exactly the two things that God doesn't want, which is to link together church and state, to link together religious and political, to link together things that God has kept separate. God separates his hands, and on the right hand is religious. All religious people will be judged here. Whether they're under a law here or not is irrelevant, but he will judge them here. And so his judgment lies. In other words, it's waiting. And so this prophecy says there'll be a 490 years from a certain point, and I gave you that point because it specifies the 69 times 7, which is 483. So if we add 483, then from this point, 483 years, 483, that's the same thing as 69. Okay. Now, John the Baptist precedes. So I'll use this color. John the Baptist right here, he's 6 months older. So 6 months in our way of coding this is a half a year. 6 months is a half a year. So to get 3.5 years, and I'll share later why we have to have that, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, this is John right here, and this is Jesus right here. So Jesus goes from Passover to Passover to Passover to Passover. Now, when he was about to be 12 years old, he attended Passover. In other words, he was 12, and the next thing he does is attend a Passover, which means he could be born in the spring, not in the winter. John, however, might have been born in the winter when his father Zechariah had that visit from Gabriel. And then he shared that with writing because he couldn't speak. He was reckoned dumb because he was unable to believe that his son would be the harbinger. He was the one that would introduce the herald for the lordship of Jesus. Jesus would be born a king. So Jesus is a political figure, but not secular politics, another kind of king, a king that's righteous, and the only king ever in the history of the world that has been righteous. No king can arise and be righteous and keep it. So no one ever has. And from the foundation of the world, it's one thing to start something and have a good idea, like Trump will have to do. It's another thing to maintain it. there's the rub. There's the difficult part. Is it's hard, and you had experienced this in your own life. It's not hard to be born again. It's not hard even to be discipled. But it is hard to maintain that in the light of this world. It's very hard. And so wickedness ain't going away. Okay, so until the end of this line here, where the millennium starts, the 1,000 years, until that happens, you have then the Gentiles ruling. So one thing about this period of time is the Gentiles rule up until there. Then the millennium, 1,000-year reign, 1,000-year reign, and that's what I don't want to talk about right now. And then that ends there, and then eternity goes on from there. So that's the seventh day of God, the 7,000th year. And this is part of the 6,000, then 5,000. And Jesus was born 4,000 years from creation, way back here. So that's, for God, just the fourth day. Again, you're not going to be able to follow everything I'm saying, but just bear with me, and we're going to introduce this idea and then talk about it some more. So there's a 3.5-year period, and that's the first half of the 70th year. So 69 brings us to this point where Jesus begins his ministry. So right there. But he doesn't die until 30 AD. And that's then the end of 3.5 years of the gospel being preached on earth. So the gospel of the kingdom of God on earth, submitted to the right hand of Jesus, the right hand, Jesus on the right hand of God, he'll set that up, and then something will happen. I'm going to read it to you right now out of the scripture so you can see why this is very difficult to understand. But you have to. 70 weeks, 70 sevens, are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city, yours, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and thereby bring in righteousness, everlasting righteousness, never will cease. So this is then moving into the millennium. And to seal up the vision and prophecy, in other words, don't leave this open that people can look at it, seal it up so it's mysterious to the world. They won't understand it. And to anoint the most holy. In other words, he's anointed to be king. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth, 457 BC, Persian Empire. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the Messiah. So from 457 BC to the announcement that Jesus says these words, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is now at hand. It's here. So at hand means it's not just on the agenda, it's now. We've gotten there. So this moment in time, 483 years later, is actually 69 weeks, and then begins Jesus' ministry, 3.5 years, and then he's cut off. He's cut off. He's crucified. He's killed. The offering has been made. Jewish worship now, based upon sacrifices, offerings, and atonement, over. It's over. So that is a blow for Israel. Israel doesn't understand that. The Jewish people are confused about that because they feel that you get into heaven by your good works. And so by killing Jesus right there, crucifying him, and then having this precede, just precede that, now it's over. And so this 3.5-year period right here, from here, is over at this point. And then after that, you have a lacuna, a gap, a period of time, 2,000 years and more, until you get to the millennium. So that's the third thousand. But we're right now already in the third thousand, just chronologically, not theologically. In other words, it's not yet the millennium, but we're already there. It's just around the corner. So, but another 3.5 year period then finishes the week, and this is where the Antichrist comes in. The Antichrist has then 3.5 years. So his 3.5, that 3.5 is the time that finishes that lacuna, that 2,000-year gap between Jesus doing the first half of the 70th week and then the Antichrist saying, oh, he's not coming. It's been a long time, you know. We, let's say the Muslims could easily be this because they're saying they're going to be it, but they could easily be it because that's exactly their goal. They pay attention to our scriptures more than we do. They ape, they copy what we've said, and then they take that, we're the ones that are taken over. In fact, in the Golden Gate where Jesus is supposed to return and then enter the holy city at his second coming, which is yet a ways, he's supposed to go through the Golden Gate. The Muslims have put all of their graves there way back in the time of the Crusades, with swords in those graves, so that when Jesus comes through, he's going to have to bust through this stone wall, which is the Golden Gate, and then there'll be a big battle, and they'll win. And then poor Jesus, you know, get killed again. Just about made it, but then they beat him to the punch. So we're in a race now as who's going to win this race. Now, it may not be them, but they fit the bill, so I don't really care whether it is them or somebody else. There are other candidates that it could be. But you see that they have a 10 confederation kingdoms to all give their power to the Antichrist and all this kind of stuff. This is all Satan's idea. That 10 nation, which I'm not going to talk about, but that 10 nation confederation is able to then defeat the whore of Babylon, which gave the king of Babylon, the Antichrist, the beast, has a lot of names, all of its power, and destroys then the harlot that gave the beast its power. The beast could never have come to power without religion. Religion is the thing that legitimizes a politician. Now, you saw this even in this election. When the religious, always watch for the religious female. Religion is always female. So the bride of Christ, female. And the Jewish daughter of Zion, all this kind of stuff. It's always female. So the male is always the political king figure, and the priest figure, the religious figure, the imam figure, whatever, is always in Scripture female. So it's the beast and his harlot that then rule, but he throws off the girl because he's through with her. Hey, I got all the power now, I don't need you. So religion then becomes witchcraft. They no longer need the religious, business. You have the form of religion, but you deny the power of it. So it all goes to the king. So ultimately, it's the king. It's the Lamb of God and his bride versus the beast of Satan and his harlot. But she's thrown off. She, at some point in the 3.5 years that's left of the 70th week, because this is going to end it all, never again after this moment will there be a wicked ruler or a wicked priest anywhere on earth. Everybody will be subject to Jesus Christ and his bride, us. So this is no longer a theory about the future, or it's no longer a historical novelty about the past. This is actually in the newspapers daily kind of thing. We can be looking forward to this ending soon. Certainly for young people, they may well see it. For old people like me and some of you, I don't know if I'll make it or not. But I don't really care because I'm already there. I'm already there in my imagination, my thinking that I live in the millennium already. So I'm not really interested in this world any longer. I'm already gone. So whether I live or die, I'm okay. And I'm going to read some scriptures which show not only am I okay, but a refuge has been set up for the righteous. Now, that doesn't mean anybody who's called Jewish or anybody who's called Christian or pagan for that matter. It means only those that are hot, not lukewarm. Only those that are all the way with God, ready when the bridegroom comes at the end of the this 3.5 year period. Now, it has a lot of names. First of all, it's Jacob's trouble. And this is specified in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It's specified that there'll be this time period of Jacob's trouble. Jacob is the name for Israel. So it's the Israelis will be the target of the Antichrist, not us. As a matter of fact, we will be in a place of refuge. We will not be accessible to the Antichrist. However, two witnesses are left on the earth at this time, the whole time of 3.5 years. And they will be witnessing the gospel while whoever's in charge, whoever is ruling, the Antichrist, the beast system, and the whole world is in on this, especially the leaders of the world. They talk about this stuff all the time. Churches don't, because it's kind of hard to understand the book of Revelation. It's kind of hard to understand these old prophets. Why? Because there's no way you could make it make sense. It didn't make sense when it was written or when it was received years ago. It does now, because it's actually the thing of the New World Order. It's the, you know, everyone who is talking about it is into witchcraft, not statecraft. This is a treacherous thing. And so religion is the key. The thing that matters in the world today is which religion and how mature are you as a believer. So my goal is to not only tell you the sequence of events and what they mean, but to make sure you're ready, like a bride, without spot or wrinkle, because he's not coming back for a harlot. He's not coming back for foolish virgins who are not filled daily with the Holy Spirit. He wants his people to be spirit-born, spirit-filled, and spirit-led, because it's a spiritual kingdom, because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit, capital S, and truth, capital T. So to be filled with Jesus is really to be filled with the Holy Spirit who operates inside of you. He indwells you. He's living inside of you as the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. So he's in there. And these scriptures don't mean anything to anybody, and they haven't for years except a few weird people in churches. But I'm telling you right now, it's going to be front page. It's going to come out, and Trump's election could have an effect here on why one of the candidates who dreamed of being able to break the glass ceiling, the first woman president, and so on and so forth for years, and just could taste it. And it's impossible for the other challenger to have won. But somehow it happened. Why? Because God's agenda is bigger than man's. And so I'm just telling you the time frame, and it wouldn't make sense before today. I mean, even though people guess and have all kinds of ideas about it. Jacob's trouble is also the time for the Jewish priesthood. So it's called the same time of 3.5 years, 1260 days, 1260 days, so on. All of that is the same time as the purifying of the sons of Levi. In other words, the priesthood in Israel will again be at their job of building a temple, having all the paraphernalia in place, and making animal sacrifices again according to the Old Testament, and they want to receive their kingdom that was promised to them long before at Abraham's time. And so they asked Jesus when he was resurrected, And then he got up. Hey, are you, before you go back to heaven, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? It's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father himself has fixed. That was 2,000 years ago. And now, it's right now. It's the fix. The Father fixed this time because it's throughout the whole Old Testament and New Testament. Even though there's only a few verses in the book of Revelation that you can understand. Most of it's Kodesh. Why? Because you should have read the Old Testament. You should have read not only the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, but also the wisdom literature, which includes Psalms and Proverbs and so on, but also the prophets. Well, those three pieces of the Jewish Tanakh, their Bible, is our Old Testament. And so our Old Testament is the foundation of the New Testament. In other words, they asked him, Jesus, will you at this time restore the kingdom? But he also asked them this question. But he preempted them by saying, think not that I've come to destroy the Torah, the law. I haven't come to destroy it. I've come to annihilate it by fulfilling it. In other words, I'm going to remove the thing that's preventing you or the disease that's keeping you limited. I'm going to kill something, but it's not you. It's that which would kill you. It's that which would harm you. So his death bought your life so that you could now fulfill the law and not destroy it, but actually make it happen, but through the Spirit, not through the flesh. So flesh now is Jewish. They still are trying to make man at his best state. The communists still want to perfect man. Socialism is all about the society, how wonderful it is to be part of a society. Everybody agrees and you'll have peace on earth, goodwill to men. Lie. It's never going to happen. Never has happened. Never will. You cannot build and finish the Tower of Babel. What began after the flood with Nimrod's Tower of Babel is the same thing. It has never changed. And every king and emperor since, every kingdom, whether it be Egypt, whether it be Assyria, whether it be Babylon, Persia, Greece, or Rome, or Holy Rome, or New World Order Rome, which is now, current. All of those seven heads are in the scripture. I'll read them today if you give me a little bit time. If not, you'll have to read the Bible yourself. What I'm trying to show you is that God from the beginning of the world knew the whole thing. And he wrote it down. He prophesied it from the beginning, but it's code so that you couldn't read it and then not need God. You could read it, but then have to be born again, filled with the Spirit, led by the Spirit. You'd have to ask the Holy Spirit who wrote all of it, who inspired all those writers to write that over the thousands of years. You can't read it and understand it. So you have to have God. Isn't that funny that God would want to write something that you needed God to, who authored it, to explain it and then execute it and do it? And so he's made you dependent, totally. And the way to rebel against God is don't do it. Don't do what he says. Don't believe what he says. But he's just, you know, sitting up there laughing. It's like, cool, you know, it's going to work. And so the Tower of Babel, all he does, he just went downstairs and said, let's look it over. Let's see what they're up to. Oh my gosh, nothing will be impossible now. These men can do, when they gather together, house of bondage, death. So everything that man makes is sterile. No eternal life. No everlasting, no peace on earth, no goodwill toward men. Nobody can live next to somebody else and get along. So that's the problem, and it's always been the problem, is that you can't have peace if you don't like your neighbor. And the only way you can like your neighbor is to worship God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, which will kill you. And then that's all that's left is love your neighbor because he killed you. And the way he killed you is to annihilate your flesh so that your spirit man could be reorganization of all your molecules, all your matter, all who you are, so that you're rightly oriented under God in the highest heaven, the Lamb and his bride in the mid-heavens, or in this case, the highest heaven, because it changes. You have to watch time and space in this. And then the Jewish in their kingdom, restored, their kingdom is restored, in Jerusalem, ruling over the Gentile nations that are still with us because they're not fully gone during the millennium. So a lot is taking place which you cannot imagine now because you cannot imagine it. It doesn't make any sense. But it's time now because he's about to return. The Antichrist is about to sit, announce that he is God, announce that he is divine, just like all the pharaohs did. Remember when Moses met the Pharaoh and said, "The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Therefore, let go of his people," his people. And the Pharaoh, who was a son of God, and if he died, he'd be God. He would be a God. He said, "That's nonsense. Who is this God? I don't know him. I have no knowledge of that God." And of course he doesn't, because he thought of himself. You know how the pyramids are. That's like the sun god, Ra, Amon Ra. And it beams coming down. It forms a pyramid. So that's what the pyramid is. It's how to get up to, earn your way up to by keeping the law, keeping the rule. In Egyptian terms, Ma'at, M-A-A-T. Ma'at is justice, right order. And that's what the Pharaoh would do by eliminating all liberty except his. So if you were in his house of bondage, you could not deify yourself, because only the Pharaoh, who is at the top of the pyramid, like our last president, whatever he said goeth down the whole pyramid. And so if you deviate from that, if you're out of order, you're out. And the problem for Hillary was she could not command the troops in the same way. They would vote for him, but they would not vote for her. And even though he seemed to, you know, endorse her and all this, and, you know, truly then his legacy would go on, he doesn't need it. He has higher ambitions. So the problem today in the world is to understand God. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He'll give you everything else. Seek first the kingdom of God, meaning you'll have wisdom, you'll have knowledge, you'll have favor, you'll have everything that God wants for you, because he has never changed his mind. And when he had a little 10 plague contest with Pharaoh, which one won? Well, the Jewish people wouldn't be here. They would still be slaving, making bricks and whatever, unless God won. And so the God of the Hebrews, whom the Pharaoh despised, he said, you know, who is this God that I should obey and submit to his voice? Uh-uh. No way. And furthermore, and not only will I not listen to and let the people go, they're not going anywhere. They're my economy. They're my political creatures. I'm going to keep them all. They're in my hand, and I'm going to keep them there. And God said to him in Hebrew, Shalach. Shalach means you voluntarily let my people go from your hand into mine. I'll take care of them from now on. They were always mine. I entrusted them to you. You've done a rotten job. So I'm now going to have a contest and not talk with you, just beat you. That's power. So, and it's merciful power, by the way, because Egyptians wouldn't even be part of the kingdom, which they will be. They will actually give praise to Yeshua, a Jewish HaMashiach. Why? Because that's the way it's set up. And God has already told the end from the beginning so that you know he's God. Buddha can't do it. Muhammad can't do it. No other God on earth can tell the end from the beginning, but our God. And in fact, if he doesn't in Genesis tell you the whole thing, then Revelation is not a revelation. But because he told it ahead of time, albeit in code, in other words, you couldn't fully understand what he was talking about, but you could understand enough to make you guilty. You could understand enough to make you try real hard like the Jewish people did and failed and failed and failed. And to this day, they had never admitted, confessed their sins and said, God, we completely, consciously, knowingly, freely, willingly disobeyed you, rebelled from you like Nimrod. We're just like the pagans. Forgive us. They have never said that. And they aren't going to do it until the last furnace. The seventh furnace is this one I'm talking about, 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. This is the one, and I ran out of time, obviously. A little bit late today. All right. To know, therefore, and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, okay, that's 7 times 7, 49 years, and 62 weeks, that's 69 weeks altogether, or sevens, which is 483 years. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. In other words, I will restore. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, for us. And the people of the prince that shall come, another Rome, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. This is the key verse, 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the bad guy, the Antichrist. You know, he's Babylon, he's Persia, he's Greece, he's Rome, he's all of them, all wrapped up into one. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, in the middle of the week, 3.5 days into it, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation, that is what the Jewish people did always to try to please God or get God not to be ticked off at him, shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. In other words, when Jesus was killed, when Jesus was crucified by Rome, then this was for all other offerings to cease for Israel. So Israel's futile work came to an end. Unless the Lord build the house, they that labor, labor in vain. So everything they did to earn God's favor, to keep God's Torah, to keep the law, was foolish and wicked and completely vain. Man at his best state, moral, religious, kind, sincere, altogether vanity, altogether nothing, doesn't count. Why? Because Jesus is God's gift to man to live your life for you, to be perfect for you, to be holy for you, because he's the only one that can be an offering that ends all offerings. So they cease when that cross became now our primary symbol, our primary way of thinking about the crucifixion of Jesus' death is an agonizing, painful thing, but Jesus turned it into a victorious, praiseworthy, wonderful thing. So now death is the key to resurrection. So dying to yourself, because you're the problem, dying to yourself is actually the key to your eternal life. You can't have eternal life until you die. And you can't die until you're born. So the first thing he does is get you born again. Then he gets you filled with the Spirit. So you die to yourself so that you can be resurrected in the power of the Holy Spirit, who now indwells the people of God because you are the temple of the Holy Ghost, the light of the world. You are now the salt of the earth. So the whole earth will be restored, and a new heaven and a new earth after this 1,000-year reign forever and ever and ever and ever. Worlds without end. In other words, there'll be no end to its righteousness. All the scriptures of the Old Testament now make sense because of where we are now at this moment. We are seeing that God is getting his people separated from his people. In other words, his people who are lukewarm from the people who are hot, his foolish virgins from his wise virgins, his wheat from his chaff, and so on and so forth. So he has all these divisions going on to separate those that are not serious in their flesh, but resting in his spirit, so that you don't labor, that you don't work, that you don't do anything. You just confess your sin, but now it's a joyous thing. Why? Oh, because it's always forgiven. Because it's over. You're just simply confessing, yes, I sinned. Then you don't have to do any beads. You don't have to run around the church. You don't have to swing from a chandelier. You don't have to do anything. Why? Because everything that's been done that needs to be done, it's finished. Tetelestai. That means the end is already now. Heaven has already begun. So we're premillennial now. And we have been ever since you were born again. Now, the problem is that the preaching is usually historical or future. Most pastors are talking about some future event, which they know not, and then they're talking about a past event. We're not Jewish, we're not Catholic anymore, or something like that. It's meaningless because they can't put the whole picture together. And the only reason I want to talk to it, not I'm brilliant or something, I'm just reading the Bible. Just reading what it says, and it's clear, but it's only clear if you are hungry for truth. If you want to know how is everything, you know, when is the harlot thrown off? When is the Antichrist thrown into the pit? You know, when is the Satan bound by a thing? When is the false prophet into the, you know, lake of fire and all this kind of stuff? If you want to know all of that, we can then express things that have different times than you've been taught and different places than you have known. All the things that are under the earth called Hades. I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against her, his church, his pure bride. All of that makes no sense because you don't know down underneath the soil, the dirt, physical dirt, is Hades. And down there is all kinds of things. The lake of fire is down there. The pit is down there. A big chasm is down there. The place of comfort is down there. The place of torment is down there. And it's all arranged. It's a real place, space. Like you're in a holding tank here, and you're not yet dead, though. You're not yet at the great white throne judgment, which everybody is there, but you might not be. If you now have made yourself ready. Because the only thing you need is your crown and your reward so that you are now have a new body and a new heaven and earth and so on and so forth. So you may not attend that thing like other people do. Now you think you are because it says you are, but that's a misunderstanding of who you are. So you have to know who you are. And you can't guess because you might be wrong. You might be caught up in the air, suspended up there, and you can't figure that out. Isn't that naughty of God not to make it clear? But it is clear you're caught up in the air. But you thought the rapture was before the tribulation, pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, but that's all nonsense. Because it's definitely after, but it's pre-wrath, not pre-trib. We're all going to go through the tribulation because the tribulation separates the wheat from the hull, the husk, the bad stuff, the trash. So it's a good thing. Tribulation is the most wonderful thing. Why? Because it's a fork that goes in there and you throw stuff up in the air so that the wind blows away the trash and the valuable grain is left. That's us. We're the valuable grain. Now, all of that is to say this 3.5-year period Everyone that I know of teaches that there's 7 years that you're looking forward to. I do not. I teach that there's only 3.5 years. Jesus has already finished the first half because the Messiah was cut off in the middle of the week. And here it is, of course, years. And he shall confirm, 9:27, Daniel, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. This is the bad guy. And in the midst of that week, he, the Roman Empire, which is now the New World Order Empire, it's the same, Holy Rome, Rome, they're all the same, Rome, 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 666. He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, crucify Jesus. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, that is when the bride of Christ and Christ come together, which is soon, not now though. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. In other words, God has already written down exactly in what order all these things will take place. But you need to know it so that you can prepare yourself and say, I have an answer for people that are asking questions. Give a reason for the hope that's in you. Everyone, the millennials, are fascinated by what I'm just telling you. So I don't know that we have any here, but if we do, the millennials are the ones that say, well, why is it 3.5? You know, well, what about this? You know, and they're confused. So that's why I want to teach, the Holy Spirit told me to, that's why I want to teach that, is because people now have eyes to see and ears to hear. Those millennials who don't go to church, they've seen everything you can see and experience and so on. So, but they're confused. They're not Christians. They don't like that institutional stuff. But they're fascinated by truth. They want to know the truth because she's never been taught it. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. It's like going into the bush and meeting people for the first time, hearing the name Jesus. And suddenly, signs and wonders and miracles happen, and they know, I want to know about that. They're ready to commit that fast. When you go to India, as Peggy and I have done, you'll build them a church. That's called love. That's called the fruit of your faith. When you build them a church in their village, they're all Hindus, Buddhists, Muslims, it doesn't matter. And you build them a building, one half of, let's say this, maybe even a third of it. It's not very big, but it'll hold 200 Muslims, Hindus, or Buddhists, because they don't need chairs. They don't need pulpits. They don't need anything. They are ready just because you built it in their village and spent a few $1,000s, bricks and tin and all that kind of stuff. That to them, that is the love of God. They don't care what your religion is. You did something. You're not talking something. You're not giving us a philosophy or, you know, rituals to follow and laws and buttons to put on my forehead and so on. You have actually done something and reached out to us, and you're not from here. You've come from a long way away, and this is not a nice place to be, but you did it. They're ready to receive Jesus. They immediately close their eyes and want you to pray over them, which Peggy and I did and a lot of other people. And then they rip off the beads that are on their ankles. Girls, boys, doesn't matter. They rip them off because those were the things their mothers tied on them when they were babies to ward off the demons, because there are many demons in the world trying to get them. And so now with Jesus, without being told, they rip that off immediately and throw that away. Now they have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord. They know nothing about nothing about nothing. They just know that thing must be true. I like what you're saying. It's like, wow, that's the way the millennials also will come to Christ. It's easy. It's easy. It's like picking low hanging fruit off the tree. Why? Because they have nothing right now. And they know all of the things they do and others do around them are lies. They know the homosexual agenda and all the weird things that are, you know, pushed on them and through school systems and so on, they know there's something wrong with all of that. It's not making for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. So they're hunting for it in the wrong ways. They know drugs doesn't do it. They know alcohol doesn't do it. They know a lot of sex doesn't do it. They know, you know, success in life doesn't do it. They don't know what, where they came from, where they're going, and why they're here. So this is actually the greatest harvest ever for America. We have not had a revival. And I believe, as I've said, that it's going to begin right here. This is the most conservative, Dallas-Fort Worth, most conservative part of America. They call it the Bible Belt, whatever. But Collin County, Denton County, and Tarrant County, us, not so much Dallas, but I believe that's where it's going to start. But anyway, this North Texas whole area is red, 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 red. And if I were George Soros with billions of dollars, and he is determined to do this, he wants to, and he already started in Houston and prevailed. Spent a half a million dollars, and totally a million, but he spent a half a million dollars just to eliminate the DA, to eliminate the judges, and so on. So now they have no law there in Republican hands, so it's all in the Antichrist, Democrat side, leftist, far leftist, communist, socialist, whatever. And that's okay. God loves those people. But they need to see our light, not our rejection, not our condemnation, our light. That if I got in, they can get in. There's no one harder than me, unless it be you. So I think we're all miracles of God's love. After all, God's in charge. It's nothing for God to beat Pharaoh. He is the governor of the nations, and that's all there's to it. He has all power, all might, all wisdom, all strength, everything. He has everything, but he happens to be good. He's benevolent. He's loving kindness, and he loves all men everywhere, and that's why he has ordained that there be peace on earth, goodwill to men everywhere, but you don't see it yet. Hasn't come yet, but it will in the millennium. But right now, what you see is that religious liberty is persecuted. In other words, religion has to be subordinate to the civil state. And the civil state, in order to be a church like we are here, you have to submit yourself to the political authority, the beast. They don't intend to be beasts, but that's what they are. Because they want the church not to be free of them. Just like Pharaoh wanted to hold on to the children of Israel as his servants, his slaves, his creatures. But God said, no, they're mine. So I want them now. I've come to take them now. You've only had mine in trust. But you broke the trust. You breached the trust. Therefore, I'm taking them. So let them go. And let them go freely. And pay them off also as they go. Now, that kind of God is either a fool or he's the living God. And so God, when the time is up, and that's why I'm telling you about time and space, the time is up soon. I don't know when. I don't really care. But I believe it's sometime soon. I don't know that I'll be alive. But the young people, do we have any young people, 12 or 13 or 14? Is there someone way back there? They will be here, no doubt. And many of you may be here. I may even be here. That's weird. So I got to talk fast and get it out all done so I can go home. But nevertheless, this is the most exciting time to be alive. For everybody, it's uncertain. For me, it's certain. For everybody, they want security. For me, I don't want security. I like it just the way God is doing it. In the most insecure time, the most crisis time, that's when fortunes are made in this world, and that's where the kingdom flourishes. When Christians are hated and persecuted and misunderstood, like today, that's the time you get your biggest harvest. And so the harvest is ready. It's the laborers that are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers, and I believe y'all are laborers who will be sent out, but don't repeat anything I said today, because it's weird. But it's the truth. But you need to study it for yourself. Read the whole Old Testament and New Testament before you read the book of Revelation. It's the answer, but you need to know the question. Otherwise, unless you're confused, you can't learn. But when you're confused, you're eager to learn because you realize, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about all that. Good. That makes your ears open and your eyes focused on what you're seeing and hearing, because the day has come and the hour has come, the judgment. The day of the Lord, which is that same period that I'm talking about, the day of the Lord is the same thing as the tribulation, which is the same thing as the purifying of the sons of Levi, which is the same thing as the troubling of Jacob, which is the same thing as the end of the Gentiles, which is the same. It's a day of vengeance for the wicked. But remember, vengeance isn't ours, it's God's. And God often, in his vengeance, may actually only destroy their flesh and save their soul. So you don't know, and that's why God reserves it to himself. I will repay, saith the Lord, not you. That I don't entrust this. I don't invest this in you. You are not invested to do this. You can't handle it. You're not competent. But I know how to judge the heart. You don't. I know how to judge the innermost soul. You don't. I know how to judge the actions of people. You don't. Many of them are hypocrites. I know the difference. I know whose heart is pure. I know who would have or has already accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. So none of us even know how many communists actually are secret Christians, how many Muslims are already secret Christians, how many Jewish people are secret Christians. Nobody knows. They're not publishing that. How many know that Washington had a million, almost 2 million people to 10, but Obama had about like 4. But how many know about the other motorcycle people that showed up that did not appear in any broadcast I saw or any paper? Did you see something? Hundreds of thousands of motorcycles that packed Washington, packed the place. I mean, the roads for miles and miles and miles. Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions, were there. If anything went wrong, they were there. That's a powerful statement. Nothing was reported on it. Probably no incident. I don't know. But I know one thing. They came prepared to defend the President of the United States. And everything that the president said and every song that was sung and every speech that was made or prayer that was said, all about Jesus. No apology whatsoever. This is a new day, but don't mistake it. You still have to take care of yourself, because he cannot build the kingdom of God on the earth, nor will he. He will make many mistakes. He's a person. But he was willing to throw his life in the ring, and God will use it, but he's not necessarily mature. So therefore, he will look like something. He'll make an effort, but he's just a person. Just like I am just a person, period. But God is the one to whom we give all glory and honor. So you boys, you're going to be part of that millennial group that may see the return of the Lord. Who knows? But I'm just going to be ready anyway, no matter what. All right. I hope you don't mind that I just made a quick overview, because I couldn't read everything out of Jeremiah, everything out of the book of Revelation, and everything out of Daniel, because I was naughty and was late. But nevertheless, it's all in my heart and in my head. So we'll have lots of teachings in the weeks and months ahead. Because I believe this year is a turning point, not only politically, don't despise that, but also spiritually. And I believe a revival may well be in the offing. All right. God bless you. Let's have a prayer.